President Barack Obama has said that, I quote, "We do not want to see any more civilians killed," unquote. International diplomacy initiated by Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, Secretary of State John Kerry, and Egyptian leadership must be intensified. One of the reasons for the recent escalation in violence is the collapse of the peace process. We endorse the Secretary General's message to Israelis and Palestinians: stop fighting, start talking, and take on the root causes of the conflict. As we work for end to hostilities, effort must also be made to revive the peace talks. The Middle East cannot have enduring peace without a two-state solution. An independent, viable, and geographically contiguous Palestinian state on the basis of the pre-1967 borders, with Al-Quds al-Sharif as its capital, living side by side with Israel, is the only way to guarantee peace and stability in the region. Mr. President, we call on the Security Council to act by adopting a resolution that would call for an immediate and unconditional ceasefire, halt Israeli air, ground, and naval offensive, and remove Israeli forces from Gaza. The Security Council should play its role in ending the blockade of Gaza, opening its border, and release of Palestinian prisoners. As the diplomatic efforts continue, we call for humanitarian pauses to help those who are badly wounded and those stranded in temporary shelters. Mr. President, finally, children and women of Gaza are crying for help. This council must listen to their wails and to their cries. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Pakistan for his statement, and thank you for the improvement. You gave me some few minutes. So I hope that the representative of Morocco will also be a little generous. Give us, okay, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, allow me at the outset to thank the Secretary General for his briefing on his visit to the Middle East, as well as his efforts towards a ceasefire in Gaza. All the best to you, sir. Mr. President, the Security Council meets today at a time when the Middle East has witnessed grave developments and setbacks that are an unprecedented deterioration of the tragic situation in the region. And for years now, the Israeli military unjustified, unacceptable escalation by Israel targeting unarmed civilians in Gaza will only lead to more hatred and more violence with grave consequences, undermining all the efforts being made so far to push the peace process forward. The Kingdom of Morocco denounces and deplores this Israeli military escalation against the Palestinian people that violates all international texts. We call on the international community to fully bear its responsibilities and to urgently intervene towards an immediate cessation of this aggression targeting unarmed civilians and to protect the Palestinian people, preserve their rights, and call on Israel to respect international legitimacy. Hundreds of victims have fallen since the beginning of the aggression, many of whom are children, women, the elderly, whose homes were demolished over their heads, whose families have been dispersed, whose property has been destroyed. This is a grave deterioration of the already terrible humanitarian situation because of the premeditated practices by Israel against the Palestinian people. His Highness King Mohammed VI has provided urgent humanitarian assistance to the people of Gaza and to the victims of Israeli aggression. They will get medical help in Moroccan hospitals. His Majesty, as chairman of the Quds Committee, who is keenly following the situation in Palestine, spoke with His Excellency, the Palestinian President, Mahmoud Abbas Abu Mazen, in order to follow up the unprecedented situation because of the blind Israeli aggression against the unarmed Palestinian people. His Royal Majesty expressed his sincere condolences to the families of Palestinian martyrs and his sympathy with the wounded. He denounced once again the premeditated Israeli attacks against the Palestinian people, their land and properties, and expressed our full Moroccan solidarity with that people. Mr. President, the continuing military operations will only lead to further bloodshed among innocents. It will complicate the situation and will lead to more violence and enmity. We therefore call for an immediate end to the aggression against Gaza. Morocco supports all efforts currently being made towards an immediate ceasefire, efforts being undertaken by a number of Arab and other countries, as well as the Secretary General of the United Nations. We support the Secretary General's call to both parties to immediately cease fire. We also urge the international community to fully shoulder its responsibilities and provide the necessary humanitarian assistance to the Palestinian people to overcome this crisis and provide all forms of assistance and protection in order to enable it to exercise self-determination. The only way to resolve the Palestinian question, Mr. President, is not by war or bloodshed, or through killing innocent civilians. It is through a return to negotiations and a negotiation towards the two-state solution where two peoples can live side by side in peace and security. We will remain fully supportive of the peace negotiations and the Arab Peace Initiative, the two-state solution with a state of Palestine in the 1967 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital. Thank you, Mr. President.
So 4 minutes almost. I give now the representative of Malaysia the floor, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll be making a shorter statement while the full text is as circulated. As we have heard, the situation in the occupied Palestinian territory remains grim, perpetuated by disproportionate use of force and aggression by Israel, the occupying power, with complete disregard to civilian lives. Malaysia condemns in the strongest terms the aggressions and the ground invasion launched by the occupying power, and we demand an immediate cessation of these illegal acts. Since the start of the military airstrikes by Israel, on 8 July 2014, followed by the ground invasion, over 600 Palestinians have been killed and over 3,500 more injured. Over 80,000 Palestinians have been displaced, stretching the capacity of the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East, UNRWA. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs has stated earlier that 80% of Palestinians killed are civilians. This includes the brutal killings of four Palestinian boys last week who were doing what other kids would do, playing by the beach, and who posed no threat to whatever, to whoever, so to Israel. Over the weekend, a six-year-old girl was badly injured while eight of her family members were killed by Israeli forces in their own home, four of them children, including a seven-month-old baby. We strongly deplore the senseless loss of innocent lives in the conflict, and we take this opportunity to convey our deepest condolences to the families of the victims. Mr. President, the grotesque disproportion in the Israeli-Palestinian situation rendered Israel's claim that its action was based on self-defense simply fallacious. Israel's assertion that the Palestinians were using civilians as human shields were similarly perverse. Being one of the most densely populated areas in the world, civilians in Gaza will be affected when faced by a barrage of bombardments and military aggression by Israel. These are not human shields. They are simply civilians on their own homes, in their own homes, going about their daily lives. Israeli attacks and bombardments of civilians' homes, hospitals, and schools constitute gross violation of the Fourth Geneva Convention, which amount to war crimes. Malaysia urges the international community, especially the Security Council, to act swiftly and decisively to demand Israel to cease the disproportionate and atrocious aggression on Palestine. It is imperative that both sides restore calm immediately to avoid greater destruction and further loss of lives, especially among the civilian population in the Gaza Strip. In this regard, my delegation welcomes the call by the Security Council for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. We urge all parties to commit themselves to this end. As a member of the UN Special Committee to investigate Israel practices in the occupied territories, we participated in a fact-finding mission to Amman and Cairo last month. We heard disturbing testimony from a number of witnesses, non-governmental organizations, Palestinian government officials, and UN agencies operating in the occupied Palestinian territory and in the occupied Syrian Golan on human rights and humanitarian violations perpetuated by the occupying powers. It pains us to see that all the warning signs which had been left unheeded have now manifested into violence that we see today. With complete disregard to the 2004 advisory opinion of the ICJ, this settlement expansion is in all Israeli-occupied territories have continued at an alarming pace and scale, with new policies and procedures allowing for the confiscation of Palestinian lands and property. My delegation observes that the settlers' violence has become a natural consequence for these illegal sites, notably the destruction of Palestinian property, agriculture, and livestock with impunity and in the absence of protection by the occupying power. To those who accordion Israel's action in flagrant violation of international law and international humanitarian law and allow Israel to escape in impunity for the past 6 decades, I pose this question to you. Where is your conscience? No country should be allowed to be above the law. For far too long, this council has remained quiet and paralyzed in the face of aggression, expansion, and lack of accountability by the occupying power. The silence is deafening. The Security Council should redeem itself and uphold the responsibilities entrusted to it in relation to the failure of Israel to implement the numerous resolutions before it and take immediate measures to address this great injustice. As the occupying power, it is the responsibility of Israel to protect the people under its occupation. Clearly, Israel has failed to do so since the past 6 decades. Regrettably, the UN remains paralyzed as its key members who are in the position and power to act to rectify the situation chose self-interest rather than humanity and the rule of law as it turned a blind eye on Israelis' aggression. This situation simply cannot be allowed to continue perpetually. In this regard, Malaysia supports the call by the State of Palestine to place Palestine under the international protection system of the United Nations. We also reiterate the call to convene a conference of the high contracting parties to the Fourth Geneva Convention to address Israel's continued non-compliance with the provisions of the instrument. To conclude, Israel's ruthless military attacks on civilians are uncalled for and are a crime against humanity. Malaysia therefore calls on the United Nations, especially the United Nations Security Council and the international community, to take immediate action to halt Israel's atrocities against the Palestinian people of Gaza and work towards bringing calm and peace between Israel and Palestine. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Malaysia for his statement. Under Rule 39, the one now wish to give the floor to His Excellency Mr. Thomas Meyer-Hartink, head of the delegation of the European Union to the United Nations. Sir, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I would like to draw delegation's attention to the written statement that is being distributed and to the conclusions on the Middle East peace process that the European Union Foreign Affairs Council adopted just a few hours ago. In the interest of time, I will deliver an abridged version of this statement. The European Union is extremely concerned at the continued escalation of violence in Gaza and calls for an immediate cessation of the hostilities based on a return to the November 2012 ceasefire agreement. We welcome ongoing efforts to this end by regional partners and in particular by Egypt, and reiterate our readiness to provide the necessary support. We strongly condemn the indiscriminate firing of rockets into Israel by Hamas and militant groups in the Gaza Strip, directly harming civilians. These are criminal and unjustifiable acts. We call on Hamas to immediately put an end to these acts and to renounce violence. All terrorist groups in Gaza must disarm. We strongly condemn calls on the civilian population to provide themselves as human shields. We condemn the loss of hundreds of civilian lives, among them many women and children. While recognizing Israel's legitimate right to defend itself against any attacks, we underline that the Israeli military operation must be proportionate and in line with international humanitarian law. The European Union stresses the need for protection of civilians at all times. We are particularly appalled by the human cost of the Israeli military operation in Shuya'iya and are deeply concerned at the rapidly deteriorating humanitarian situation. All sides must meet their obligations and immediately allow safe and full humanitarian access in Gaza. We call on all sides to implement in good faith an immediate ceasefire. This tragic escalation of hostilities confirms again the unsustainable nature of the status quo. While fully recognizing Israel's legitimate security needs, the European Union underlines that the humanitarian and socioeconomic situation in Gaza must be addressed. We reiterate our call for the immediate, sustained, and unconditional opening of crossings for the flow of humanitarian aid, commercial goods, and persons to and from the Gaza Strip, in line with Security Council Resolution 1860. We stand ready, including through the reactivation of our UBAM Rafah mission, if conditions allow, to contribute to a comprehensive and sustainable solution meeting the legitimate security, economic, and humanitarian needs of Israelis and Palestinians. Mr. President, recent events in the wider Middle East pose serious threats to the European Union and its immediate neighbors. We reiterate our fundamental commitment to the security of Israel, including with regard to current and emerging threats in the region. The European Union has fully supported US-led peace efforts. We urge the parties to resume meaningful negotiations towards a comprehensive peace agreement based on a two-state solution. Clear parameters are key elements for a successful outcome. We are willing to work with the U.S. and other partners on an initiative to relaunch the peace negotiations based on the following parameters. One, an agreement on the borders of the two states based on four June 67 lines with equivalent land swaps as may be agreed between the parties. The European Union will recognize changes to the pre-67 borders, including with regard to Jerusalem, only when agreed by the parties. Security arrangements that, for Palestinians, respect their sovereignty and show that the occupation is over, and for Israelis, protect their security, prevent the resurgence of terrorism, and deal effectively with security threats, including with new and vital threats in the region. A just, fair, agreed, and realistic solution to the refugee question. Fulfillment of the aspirations of both parties for Jerusalem. A way must be found through negotiations to resolve the status of Jerusalem as the future capital of both states. We call on Israel to halt continued settlement expansion, especially in sensitive areas such as Har Homa, Givat Hamatos, and E1, to put an end to settler violence, to the worsening of living conditions for Palestinians in Area C, to demolitions, including of EU-funded projects, evictions and forced transfers, and to increasing tension and challenges to the status quo on the Temple Mount Haram al-Sharif. A fundamental change of policy on these negative developments is necessary to prevent the irreversible loss of the two-state solution. The European Union has welcomed the appointment of a Palestinian government of independent personalities and the declaration by President Abbas that this new government is committed to the Quartet principles. Our engagement with the new Palestinian government is based on its continued adherence in words and actions to these policies and commitments. The Palestinian government needs to take charge of Gaza and end the internal division, and we call on it to work towards genuine and democratic elections for all Palestinians. We reiterate our call upon the Palestinian leadership to use constructively its UN status and not to undertake steps which would lead further away from a negotiated solution. The further development of our relations with both Israeli and Palestinian partners will also depend on their engagement towards a lasting peace based on a two-state solution. We reiterate our offer to both parties of a package of European political, economic, and security support and of a special privileged partnership with the European Union in the event of a final peace agreement. Mr. President, the human catastrophe in Syria is now proliferating to Syria's neighbors, most dramatically Iraq, who are facing an extremely difficult situation. The European Union welcomes their efforts in facing this growing crisis and will continue to support them. There can only be a political solution to the conflict in Syria. We support efforts to resume an inclusive political dialogue among all Syrians on the basis of the Geneva Communique. Stronger international efforts, including among regional countries, will be of crucial importance. We fully support Mr. Demisturis and Mr. Ramsey's difficult and urgent mission and for the priorities set out by the Secretary General in his speech of 20th June. Mr. President, the European Union welcomes the adoption of Resolution 2165. We note the binding nature of the obligations set by this resolution and the Council's commitment to take further measures in case of non-compliance. We reaffirm the urgent need to hold accountable all those responsible for grave violations of international humanitarian law and human rights law. We regret that the Council has so far not been able to effectively address this issue. Mr. President, the European Union is deeply concerned about the rapidly deteriorating situation in Iraq and strongly condemns the armed assault conducted by terrorists and other armed groups. We are particularly concerned about reports of grave violations of international humanitarian law committed by these groups. All those responsible for these acts must be held accountable. Military operations should respect human rights and international humanitarian law. All parties must facilitate unimpeded access for humanitarian workers. We remain firmly committed to Iraq's unity, sovereignty, territorial integrity, and we insist on the respect of the democratic process in the country. We welcome the appointment of a new Speaker of the Council of Representatives, and we call on all the political leaders to increase efforts towards the speedy formation of a new inclusive government which will steer Iraq in a process of national reconciliation. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank His Excellency Mr. Omar Harting for his statement. I give now the floor to His Excellency Mr. Abdus Salam Diallo, Chairman of the Committee on the Exercise of the Inalienable Rights of the Palestinian People. You have the floor, sir.
Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would first like to congratulate you on the able manner in which you direct the work of the Council. I would also like to thank the Secretary General of the UN, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, for his comprehensive briefing. We welcome his intensive diplomatic efforts towards an immediate ceasefire, as well as those actions carried out by his Special Representative, Mr. Seri, U.S. Secretary of State, Mr. John Kerry, and by other regional leaders. Mr. President, the United Nations Committee on the Exercise of the Inalienable Rights of the Palestinian People condemns in the strongest possible terms the excessive and disproportionate use of force during the Israeli onslaught in the occupied Gaza Strip, including in the district of Shugaya, which has caused many deaths and injuries among Palestinian civilians, including women and children. The casualty figures we heard during the SG's briefing are truly appalling. The committee also condemns indiscriminate rocket fire emanating from Gaza, which has resulted in two Israeli deaths and several injuries so far. We are appalled by the disproportionate use of force by a trained and well-equipped army, which has resulted in the high number of Palestinian civilian casualties, estimated at 77% of the total fatalities. On the 16th of July, Mr. President, the shelling of a Gaza beach where four innocent boys aged between 9 and 11 years were killed while playing football. This event is emblematic of this type of senseless violence that has annihilated entire families and destroyed hundreds of homes. The situation has taken a dramatic turn for the worse with the beginning of the Israeli ground invasion. The casualty numbers, the photos, and the survivor stories from the Shugaya neighborhood, which was carpet bombed by Israel, speak for themselves. An international investigation should be considered by the Human Rights Council to determine accountability for this heinous act. Israeli attacks on Palestinian civilian infrastructure, namely hospitals, water sources, sewage, as well as attacks on mosques, are equally appalling. Thousands of homes have been destroyed or severely damaged, displacing over 100,000 people. And today, up to half of the population in Gaza is currently without a water supply. These acts are direct violations of the Fourth Geneva Convention, which obligates the occupying power to protect the civilian population under its occupation. Article 33 of the Convention states that, and I quote, "No protected person may be punished for an offense he or she has not personally committed." And the quote continues, "Collective penalties and likewise all measures of intimidation or of terrorism are prohibited." End of quote. The Israeli rhetoric that it no longer occupies Gaza after the 2005 withdrawal of illegal settlers and soldiers is null and void, for the simple reason that Israel controls the access through border crossings, airspace, and water, and Gaza is an integral part of the occupied Palestinian territory. Our committee welcomes and fully supports the request by the State of Palestine to the Government of Switzerland to convene a conference of high contracting parties to the Fourth Geneva Convention to address the continuing violations of its provisions by Israel. It is the responsibility of high contracting parties under Article 1 of the Convention to undertake to respect and to ensure respect for the present Convention in all its circumstances. Moreover, and has been stated before, our committee will fully support the State of Palestine if it decides to sign and ratify the Rome Statute in order to establish full accountability for the targeting, wounding, and killing of all innocent civilians. Mr. President, the committee calls upon the international community to adopt concerted action to stop all violations of international humanitarian law, including the collective punishment of the Palestinian people. Only serious, resolute collective action by the international community will compel Israel to abide by its obligations as the occupying power, as defined under international humanitarian law. In the meantime, Mr. President, UN humanitarian agencies on the ground in Gaza have stretched thin their resources and were underfunded to begin with. These organizations are struggling to respond to the massive humanitarian needs of over 150,000 affected Gazans as a result of these attacks. We urge donors to respond generously to the latest emergency appeal by UNRWA in the amount of $150 million. Mr. President, our committee welcomes the convening of the Security Council's emergency meeting on Sunday, 20 July, to consider the ongoing crisis. And our committee takes note of the remarks made to the press by the President of the Security Council and calls for concrete follow-up action by the Council to stop this senseless violence and to impede any further escalation of this dangerous crisis. Our committee believes that only a comprehensive solution to the Gaza situation, in line with Council Resolution 1860, adopted in 2009, can prevent the periodic flare-ups of violence, and it should become a top priority for the Council. Thank you, Mr. President.
Excellency Mr. Diallo, for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Japan under Rule 37. Sir, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to express my sincere gratitude to you for convening today's meeting. I would also like to thank Secretary General Ban Ki-moon for his briefing. I am also grateful to Ambassador Riyad Mansour, Permanent Observer of the State of Palestine, and Ambassador David Roet, Deputy Permanent Representative of Israel, for their statements. The Japanese statement today touches upon two issues. First, on the Middle East peace process, and second, on the situation in Syria. But for the sake of time, I will only read the first part and skip the second part, and the text will be distributed anyway. Mr. President, Japan is deeply concerned about the recent escalation of violence between the Gaza Strip and Israel, including the launch of an Israeli ground operation in Gaza and the growing number of casualties. It is deplorable that despite efforts by the international community, including the Egyptian proposal and the Security Council's demand for a ceasefire, violence continues and Palestinian militants have not accepted any international efforts. Both Israeli and Palestinian civilians are facing a serious security threat. We profoundly deplore the loss of many lives among innocent civilians. The current vicious cycle of violence might also pose a great risk to regional peace and security. Japan joins this Council and the Secretary General in calling for de-escalation and an end to the violence. The international community must speak with one voice to urge both sides to exercise the maximum restraint and calm the situation. In this regard, we would like to commend Egypt, the United Nations, the United States, and others for their mediation efforts. Japan will play its part in these international efforts to restore a ceasefire. Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe talked with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu by phone today and appealed to him to exercise maximum restraint and to make a courageous decision to achieve a ceasefire as soon as possible. Japan's Parliamentary Senior Vice Minister for Foreign Affairs, Nobuo Kishi, has embarked upon a trip to the region. Last weekend, he had meetings with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi and Foreign Minister Sameh Shoukry in Cairo. Senior Vice Minister Kishi conveyed Japan's support for the important role played by Egypt, especially in its proposal for a ceasefire and its willingness to make efforts to calm the situation and achieve a lasting ceasefire in coordination with the international community. He will be continuing his Middle East tour and will travel to Jordan, Israel, Palestine, and Turkey starting today. Japan will also continue to help address the worsening humanitarian situation in Gaza. In consultation with UN agencies, including UNRWA, Japan will consider providing humanitarian assistance based on the needs on the ground. Mr. President, even against this harsh backdrop, we should not lose hope in a two-state solution. The crisis in Gaza underscores the urgent need to achieve a just, sustainable, and comprehensive peace. It is important for the international community to overcome the current crisis and foster a proper environment which would allow both Palestinian and Israeli parties to resume talks. Japan will continue to assist Palestinian state-building efforts that aim to achieve a two-state solution. The Corridor for Peace and Prosperity and the Conference on Cooperation Among East Asian Countries for Palestine Development, or CPAD, are part of our initiatives. My mission would like to elaborate on Japan's assistance at an appropriate occasion in the future. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I thank the representative of Japan for his statement, and I'll give the floor to the representative of Brazil.
Mr. President, thank you for convening this open debate. I also thank the Secretary General for his briefing. Brazil fully supports his visit to the Middle East. We are confident it will help bring about a ceasefire in respect of international humanitarian law. Brazil also expresses its appreciation to the permanent representative of Israel and the permanent observer of the State of Palestine for their interventions. Mr. President, the last time the Security Council held an open debate on the situation in the Middle East, the nine-month deadline for reaching a final status agreement between Israelis and Palestinians was just expiring. On that occasion, Brazil and many other delegations regretted the lack of progress and underscored that failing to deal with the fundamental aspects of the Palestine question would only pose greater challenges for the future. Peace in the Middle East is so fundamental and the stakes are so high that we simply cannot allow the future of Israelis and Palestinians, and by way of consequence of the whole region, to be dictated by those who choose to perpetuate tension and conflict. Brazil strongly condemned the abduction and heinous murder of three young Israelis and a Palestinian youth and the chain of abhorrent violence that ensued. Acts of savagery cannot be tolerated. Beyond punishing those responsible for the recent excesses, it is necessary to put an end to the atmosphere of incitement that over the years has encouraged the perpetrators of such appalling crimes. We further condemned Israeli bombardment of Gaza with disproportionate use of force, which resulted in more than 600 Palestinians dead and thousands of wounded, many of them unarmed civilians and children. We also condemn the firing of rockets and mortars from Gaza into Israel. We reject the current Israeli ground incursion into Gaza, which led to more death and destruction and represents a serious setback to peace efforts. This new offensive could help trigger further instability in the Middle East and exacerbate the already dire humanitarian situation in the occupied Palestinian territory. We urge the Israelis to strictly respect their obligations under international humanitarian law. We also consider it necessary that Israel put an end to the blockade of Gaza immediately. We urge both parties to establish a permanent ceasefire and effectively cooperate with the government of Egypt and the United Nations in this regard. The international community must not continue to passively stand by while gross violations are committed against civilians. We cannot proceed as if those flare-ups and violence are unavoidable and therefore to be tolerated. Brazil reiterates its call for the Security Council to end its self-imposed distance, to fully carry out its responsibilities and actively support and steer the peace process. Resuming peace talks is as urgent and necessary as ever. Only the implementation of the two-state solution will bring durable peace and security to Israel and Palestine and put an end to the suffering of the civilian population on both sides. Let us not forget that the protection of civilians must be implemented in a universal and non-selective manner. The commendable emphasis placed by the Security Council on the protection of civilians in other items of its agenda cannot be sidestepped when it comes to the responsibility to protect Palestinians who bear the brunt of the violence. Brazil welcomes the formation of a Palestinian national unity government. This is a significant step towards Palestinian reconciliation. It is also indispensable to building a prosperous and democratic state, willing to honor from the outset all previous commitments made by Palestine. We urge all those supporting the government to abide by the previous agreements, in particular rejecting violence and recognizing Israel. Turning to Syria, Brazil welcomes the adoption of Resolution 2165 of 2014. This newly found unity among Security Council members should be extended to the political track. It is deeply troubling that while the humanitarian situation continues to deteriorate, the political process remains paralyzed. The mistaken belief that a military solution is possible through the provision of weapons to all belligerent parties in Syria can only result in more violence, instability, and suffering. We encourage Mr. Stefan de Mistura and Ambassador Ramzi Ezzeldin Ramzi to promote an early resumption of political negotiations. As recalled, the Fortaleza Declaration adopted at the 6th BRICS Summit last week in Brazil. National dialogue and reconciliation are key to the political solution for the Syrian crisis. Brazil welcomes the removal of the last shipment of chemical weapons declared by Syria and supports the ongoing investigations on the alleged use of chlorine gas against civilian targets. It is disheartening that the number of deaths, refugees, and displaced people continues to grow, together with so many broken promises to put an end to violence. We strongly condemn the continued violations of human rights committed by all sides, as consistently denounced by the Human Rights Council's Independent Commission of Inquiry. Mr. President, the recent deterioration in Iraq gives rise to grave concerns. The sad reality is that the current situation in that country derives directly from the unilateral intervention of 2003. The crisis was compounded by, among other failures, the dismantling and disbanding of the Iraqi army. As called for by the Fortaleza Declaration, it is time now to refrain from interference that will further deepen the crisis and to support the Iraqi government and the people of Iraq in their efforts to overcome the crisis and build a stable, inclusive, and united Iraq. We urge Iraq's political leaders to expedite the formation of an inclusive government and to work to meet the needs of all Iraqi citizens, irrespective of their ethnicity, religion, or sect. Mr. President, Brazil deeply condemns the recent terrorist attacks perpetrated in Lebanon and firmly supports the Lebanese government in its fight against terrorism. Brazil's participation at the International Conference on Support to Lebanese Armed Forces, recently held in Rome, was a clear demonstration of our commitment to support Lebanon's state institutions. We also underscore the role played by the United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon, UNIFIL. Brazil has been leading its maritime task force since 2011 and has supplied a frigate as its flagship. As in other neighboring countries, in particular Turkey and Jordan, the spillover effects of the Syrian conflict impose a heavy burden on Lebanon, whose generosity in hosting more than 1 million Syrian refugees should not only be commended, but also concretely supported by the international community. Finally, we would like to reiterate our support to the policy of disassociation from regional crisis agreed in the Baabda Declaration of June 2012. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Brazil for his statement.
And I give the floor to the representative of Algeria.
President, thank you for convening this open debate to consider the situation in the Middle East. And we are overwhelmed with what is happening in Gaza. In these trying times, I wish to start by commending the efforts and express our appreciation for all those who are engaged in to bring an end to the suffering of the Palestinian people, particularly in Gaza, and I mentioned the United Nations Secretary General, the Egyptian government, and United States Secretary of State. Since last July 7th, a new military aggression is being conducted against the population in Gaza. What happened since that date and what is still happening is all the more shocking and appalling for millions around the world. More than 600 citizens killed, and the toll is still climbing. 1,000 wounded, maimed, lives destroyed with homes, mosques, schools, hospitals became military targets and in ruins. And even what a symbol, olive trees uprooted and burned in the traces of armored trucks. Whatever the pretext of this new escalation, it remains a mere pretext. How can anyone justify the brutal shelling, aerial and maritime strikes, missiles, drones over densely populated areas? How can anyone bear the images of these children who were blown in the sanctity of their innocence and the world watching in horror, their impossible playground turned into open-air graves, whose terrible guilt seems to be only they are Palestinians? In other areas, other children, I just mentioned the children because one of them, I have to mention, one young Algerian, a three-year-old, Abdullah Darraj Youssef, who was killed with his mother in a home, was struck by a missile. You cannot say that this home was a militant base. He was buried with other Palestinians in the Rafah Cemetery. How can anyone describe the situation from the legal, political, and human rights angles? Where are the boundaries? Where are the borders between what we see and the notions of collective punishment, mass killing, and war crimes? Allude to the consciousness of all members to think a while and think about it and maybe to stand. Is the international community going to turn a blind eye on what is happening and turn its back on all the values and rights? Let's mention the right to life, the basic one, that we, I mean the international community, the UN and the UN Security Council, are promoting, rightfully defending and lecturing all over the world. What example are we setting? Are there exceptions in universal rights? I don't want to add to what my colleague has said and to what the whole world is witnessing. Today, the urgent action is needed to put an end to this ordeal. Our action, your action, is called upon. It is needed individually and collectively for the sake of peace in the whole world. Let's not forget that Gaza is under blockade, or should I say, beleaguered for the last 7 years. Food, medicine, gas, money, salaries, and even sometimes water are heavily rationed, restricted, or subdued. Let's not forget that unfulfilled promises, ever-failed initiatives for the so-called establishment of peace, added to the dwindling commitments, do in piling up frustrations, hopelessness, and despair. All flammable ingredients for a bleak future that certainly none of the peoples or the states of the region will benefit from. Let's not forget that the Palestinian territory is under illegal, oppressive, and extremely brutal occupation. Occupation is the core of the issue. And the Secretary General rightfully mentioned this morning the root causes. And putting an end to this occupation in materializing the national legitimate rights in a viable state for the Palestinians is the only way out, through negotiations. For the time being, our urgent duties, moral, political, and legal, is to protect the civilians. We, the international community, you, the Security Council, should act urgently and be aware of an important issue. The current aggression will only contribute to widen even more the gap between aspiration for peace and security for all. Security cannot be built through aggression. It would be a terrible illusion to think that security will prevail one day in the absence of peace or prospect of peace. And we should not try to test when late is too late. Inconclusiveness in the endeavor of the international community or absence of action of the Security Council, according to its responsibility under the UN Charter, could become a part of the problem. Let's hope that we all overcome this the sooner. Thank you, sir.
Je remercie le représentant de l'Algérie.
I'd like to thank the representative of Algeria for his statement.
Mr. President, it is a pleasure to see you presiding over the Council for the month of July 2014. I wish to thank you for organizing this very important debate at this crucial moment, which affords the wider UN membership an opportunity to address the challenges facing the Middle East, particularly the people of Palestine. At the outset, I wish to confirm that my delegation aligns itself with a statement made by the distinguished permanent representative of the Islamic Republic of Iran on behalf of the Non-Aligned Movement. Mr. President, my delegation wishes to express concern at the continuing turmoil and deterioration of the situation in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, as a result of the repressive illegal measures that continue to be undertaken by Israel, the occupying power, against the Palestinian people. I join others in condemning the latest violation, provocation, and escalation of aggression measures carried out by the Israeli forces aimed at a collective punishment against the Palestinian people. In the Gaza Strip, Israeli forces continue to carry out airstrikes, injuring and killing more and more Palestinians and causing great fear and distress among the population, who continue to suffer from deplorable living conditions as a result of Israel's inhumane, unlawful blockade. Mr. President, condemning the indiscriminate rocket fire emanating from Gaza, targeting at Israeli cities and civilian infrastructure, we contend to such attacks do not justify the disproportionate use of force and collective punishment of 1.7 million Palestinians living in Gaza, where the death toll perpetuated by the occupying forces stands at a well over 600 Palestinians, including the killing of innocent women and children. Thousands of Palestinian homes continue to be destroyed or severely damaged by the indiscriminate Israeli air attacks, displacing thousands of Palestinian people and further destroying critical civilian infrastructure, including wastewater treatment facilities and water distribution networks, hospitals and schools, including UN facilities. All this should stop. It is cynical to equally apportion blame on both parties while one of the occupier who possesses unparalleled military might and using this might indiscriminately, leading to civilian casualties. For all these war crimes, acts of state terrorism and systematic human rights violations committed against the Palestinian people, Israel, the occupying power, must be held accountable. We call on the UN Human Rights Council to take immediate action to investigate this genocide against people of Palestine. Israeli actions are in clear violation of the obligations as an occupying power under the Fourth Geneva Convention relative to the protection of civilian persons in time of war, to protect civilian population under its occupation. Israel cannot be allowed to remain immune from these provisions of international humanitarian and human rights law governing such situations. If Israel continues to reject the demands for the respect of international law, then measures aimed at ensuring an end to the violations and ensuring that the rule of law prevails must be undertaken in response. It remains the responsibility of the United Nations and the international community to make sure that the question of Palestine is resolved in all its aspects. Mr. President, while supporting the steadfastness and resolve of the Palestinian leadership in the face of this unprovoked aggression against their land and people, we reiterate our total condemnation of all of these illegal actions and crimes against being perpetrated by Israel in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, which are dramatically raising tensions and destabilizing the situation on the ground. In this context, Mr. President, we call for the immediate establishment of a committee to investigate these horrendous crimes and bring the perpetrators to book according to the relevant international legal instruments at our disposal. We further urge the international community to continue to provide the necessary humanitarian assistance to ease the suffering of the affected Palestinian communities, in particular the vulnerable members of society such as women, children, and the elderly. We welcome the ongoing efforts aimed at negotiating an immediate ceasefire and appeal to both parties to commit themselves to embrace this opportunity and abide by their previous agreements and obligations for lasting peace between the Israelis and Palestinians living side by side with secured borders. Israel's continued violation of international law, including humanitarian and human rights law, threatens to further destabilize the already fragile situation and seriously undermine the future of peace process, which has been suspended by Israel's unilateral decision to halt the negotiations. The international community, including the Security Council, cannot continue to fail to hold Israel accountable for these flagrant breaches of international law. Such continued failure by the international community has only further emboldened the occupying power and bolstered its impunity, which has resulted in the continuation of the above-mentioned Israeli violations and thus failure to secure a just and lasting peace. We wish to caution and remind the Council that this escalation of Israel-Palestinian crisis is the result of the continued failure of this Council to effectively address the conflict by finding a lasting and sustainable solution as called for in the implementation of various Council resolutions that call for a two-state solution. Until when is the Council going to keep passing resolutions that are never adhered to? Let me conclude by reiterating Namibia's support to the efforts being undertaken by the Secretary General and our unwavering support and solidarity with the Palestinian, with the people of Palestine in their just cause for freedom, independence, and social justice, and support for the establishment of an independent Palestinian state on the basis of the 1967 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital and its unconditional admission as a full member of the United Nations and its agencies to take its rightful place among the community of nations. I thank you.
I thank the representative of Namibia for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Ecuador. You have the floor.
Mr. President, the government of Ecuador has strongly condemned the disproportionate military operations carried out by the Israeli army against the civilian population of the Gaza Strip. These have caused the deaths of hundreds of men, women, children, all of them innocent victims. And to date, we see no signs that this violence will end. In the face of these facts, the government of Ecuador has demanded and demands the immediate suspension of this assault against the civilian population of Palestine and calls on the State of Israel to exercise maximum restraint and to act in accordance with international law and international humanitarian law. The defense of a country and the right that this country has to defend itself does not justify under any circumstances the subjecting of thousands of innocent civilians to pain and suffering, does not justify trampling on what we call international law. Mr. President, it's necessary to start by recognizing what historically this organization, the United Nations, has resolved. And that is the two-state solution, which is the only way to put an end once and for all to this illegitimate situation of subordination, which is based on the illegal occupation of Israel by Israel of Palestine. And this also includes putting an end to the embargo of the Gaza Strip, the policy of settlement, the wall, as well as arbitrary detentions of Palestinian civilians. Ecuador strongly believes in the just cause of the Palestinian people in their struggle to exercise their right to self-determination and independence. This is why my country fully recognizes the state of Palestine in the pre-1967 borders and with East Jerusalem as its capital. My delegation would like to recall that 2 years ago, the General Assembly welcomed the State of Palestine as an observer. This immense majority of states is now waiting to soon see the State of Palestine as a fully-fledged member of the General Assembly. This has not been possible due to the obvious action of one of the members of the Security Council. In light of everything that I've just said, Mr. President, it is essential to recall the primordial obligation that our organization must fulfill, the United Nations, and that is maintain peace and international security. In this task, the Security Council has the main responsibility. As has been demanded unanimously by Palestine, by Arab countries, and by the movement of non-aligned countries, we also demand that the members of the Security Council act more forcefully and not give more time to the aggressor to conclude his strategic tasks at whatever cost that are not necessarily our tasks. We demand more boldness and determination in the face of a situation of abuse and disproportionate violence by Israel against Palestine. This situation also has negative repercussions on the stability of the entire region of the Middle East. The Security Council should always be there to serve in any situation that requires it. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Ecuador for his statement and now give the floor to the representative of Nicaragua.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I would first of all like to thank you for convening this meeting and your conduct throughout this month. I would also like to thank the Russian Federation for its work last month. My delegation adheres to the statement will be made by the Islamic Republic of Iran on behalf of the non-aligned movement. Our movement has strongly expressed its condemnation for this latest aggression against the Palestinian people. Our movement, made up of the vast majority of the international community, has once again raised its voice to ask that the rest of the international community, and in particular the Security Council, to take strong and immediate measures to prevent men, women, and children in Palestine from dying, to immediately stop the aggression, to put a stop to the killing, genocide that has been carried out by Israel against the civilian population on the Gaza Strip. The Security Council should condemn in the strongest terms this systematic aggression and slaughter of more than 650 Palestinians, mostly women and children, and the more than 3,700 injured people to date. Mr. President, as we have stated on countless occasions, the Nicaraguan people feels as its own the pain and suffering of the Palestinian people, particularly in this time when this heroic people are victims once again of Israeli terrorist attacks by air, sea, and land, and in violation of all the provisions of all the international conventions and resolutions of the General Assembly and of the Security Council itself, in open violation of the most basic rights of this brethren people, their right to life, to live without military occupation, without the criminal blockade, without the suffocation of the settlements, without the horror of ethnic cleansing and collective punishment. In the face of so much death and destruction, of such genocide, there is no justification for the Security Council to continue without living up to its responsibilities in maintaining international peace and security. It should impose an immediate ceasefire. It should condemn Israel and hold it responsible for this genocide. The Palestinians continue to be the victims of the double standards of one permanent member of the Security Council. We know that the main threat to peace and security in the Middle East is Israel's refusal to peace itself, to peaceful coexistence with the state of Palestine. Nicaragua, through our president, has once again made an appeal in this regard, and I quote, "We have no choice but call upon the international community, and we, from this Lafay Square, call on the international community in order to put a stop to these acts of war against the civilian population in the Gaza Strip, and to eventually reach a final settlement between the Palestinian and Israeli people that will enable these two brethren nations, who are both children of God, to live as God intended, in peace," end of quote. Mr. President, it's time for the Security Council to fulfill its historical responsibility and not to allow that one of its members to continue to cover Israel's impunity and blackmail and approve the admission of the State of Palestine as a full member of our organization in accordance with the decision of the vast majority of the international community when, through its General Assembly, it decided to grant Palestine the status of non-member observer state to the United Nations. There will be no peace in the Middle East, Mr. President, until the historical injustice at the root of this conflict is rectified and the Palestinian people's right to their free and independent status within the borders established in 1967 and with East Jerusalem as its capital. This right is restored. Only a viable Palestinian state would guarantee peace and security in the region. Mr. President, before concluding, we would like to reiterate our concern over the developments in the Middle East and North Africa, where we have seen that imposing the policy of regime change, funding of recognized terrorist groups, promoting warmongering over dialogue and negotiations, interference and intervention in the internal affairs of sovereign states. These have all been a constant in recent years, especially against the people and government of the Syrian Arab Republic. Such illegal acts and policies, which are the cause of conflicts, the cause of tremendous refugee flows, and which are truly the real and true threat to international peace and security. This is what we want to preserve. At least we say we want to preserve international peace and security. We hope that the Security Council will know how to act in the face of these acts and policies in line with its responsibilities in the maintenance of international peace and security. In conclusion, I wish to share a thought from the well-remembered compañero Paulo Freire, which will guide us. He said that nobody is if they prohibit others from being. Well, the Security Council should finally allow the state of Palestine to be a reality. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Nicaragua for her statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Turkey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am delivering an abridged version of my statement. The original is being circulated. Mr. President, for the recent weeks, we have been witnessing the deep human and humanitarian suffering caused by Israel's operation in Gaza Strip with deepest concern. Since July 8, more than 600 Palestinians have been killed and nearly 4,000 have been wounded. Homes and key infrastructure have been destroyed, hospitals have been targeted, and over 100,000 people have been displaced. The world's conscience was shaken, among others, by the images of the killing of four children aged 9 to 12 on the Gaza beach, and later by the attack on Sejaya Turkey strongly condemns the inhumane attacks against the Gazans. It is more than alarming. It should be condemned by the whole international community. As of today, Turkey has declared 3 days of national mourning in solidarity with the Palestinian people. The Israeli operation in the Palestinian territory is in violation of international law. In fact, it constitutes a collective punishment of the Palestinian people who are striving to sustain their lives under occupation. We once again demand from Israel to immediately halt its operations on Gaza. All violence must end. The parties should urgently engage in negotiations towards a lasting ceasefire. Turkish authorities are constantly in contact with Palestinian and regional leaders and other relevant stakeholders discussing solutions towards this end. Mr. President, the world should give the strongest response to the human tragedy in Gaza unfolding before its eyes. The international community, particularly the Security Council, should assume its responsibility to take the necessary measures to stop Israeli aggression against the Palestinian people without delay and facilitate the provision of humanitarian assistance to the region. Alleviating these gross humanitarian needs should be our immediate concern. Turkey has already accelerated its humanitarian aid to Gaza. Turkish agencies TİKA and AFAD and Red Crescent are conducting humanitarian operations bilaterally and in cooperation with UNRWA to this effect. Naturally, the establishment of peace and security in the Middle East is possible only through taking viable steps towards the settlement of the Palestinian question. Turkey has always supported all efforts towards a lasting solution to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, comprising of two states living side by side in peace and security based on pre-1967 borders, relevant resolutions, Madrid principles, and the Arab Peace Initiative. We support, in this regard, the proposal of President Abbas to find an appropriate international response to the protection needs of the Palestinian civilians. The Syrian regime continues to brutally oppress the Syrian people in flagrant violation of international law by taking advantage of the lack of effective action by the international community. These violations must be stopped, and those responsible must be held accountable. The elimination of Syria's chemical weapons program remains to be completed. Uninterrupted and effective delivery of cross-border and cross-line humanitarian operations is key to respond to the most urgent needs in Syria. Unfortunately, the regime has also consistently violated the provisions of the Resolution 2139. These violations led to Resolution 2165. We hope that it will not share the fate of 2139. Turkey has already started cooperating with the UN on the implementation of the latest resolution. Political settlement remains the priority for bringing a peaceful end to the Syrian conflict. In this regard, Turkey welcomes the appointment of Mr. Stefan de Mistura as the special envoy, the UN Secretary General for Syria, and hopes that this appointment would finally revitalize the efforts in reaching a political settlement on the basis of Geneva Communique. Mr. President, taking this opportunity, we once more call upon Israel to end its aggression on Gaza and get back to the negotiating table with a genuine desire to put an end to the decades-long search for peace. We will remain in solidarity with the Palestinian people in these extremely difficult days they are passing through, as we have always been in the past. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Turkey for his statement and now give the floor to the representative of the plurinational state of Bolivia.
Señor Presidente.
Mr. President, thank you for this opportunity to speak about the situation in Palestine. The events which we are discussing in this chamber are tragic. The charter which laid the foundation for this organization states that the peoples of the United Nations are determined to save future generations from the scourge of war, which has inflicted untold suffering on mankind. That same charter, which we quote with such grandiloquence in so many statements, says that this organization is based on the principle of sovereign equality of all its members. And yet, this meeting and the scourge suffering by the Palestinian people are clear proof that this international order cannot save Palestine from untold suffering as a result of Israeli aggression. This meeting, this council, the tragedy of Palestine are clear proof that this principle of sovereign equality of all its members is not the truth. What the Charter says is not true. In this organization, the members are not equal. I'm not going to speak about my country, which is one of the 193, but I'm going to refer to the statement made by the Non-Aligned Movement. 120 countries have called for this council to halt the invasion and to stop the invasion into Gaza and to put an end to the repeated Israeli military aggression against the Palestinian people. Numerous statements have been made by the G77 in China, representing over two-thirds of the membership of this organization, have called for an end to Israeli occupation in Palestinian territory. We are not equal, as the Charter claims, because one of the five privileged members with the right to veto can paralyze any initiative for action. A single member has more power than two-thirds of the members of these United Nations. That same permanent member with the right to veto, which has justified these crimes by calling them the right to defense, is complicit through action or inaction for these atrocities. Of course, I'm referring to the United States. The same member state has hindered the recognition of Palestine as a full member of this organization. And yet, Mr. President, I do not believe that these considerations, which are discussed in the dark passages of international diplomacy, went through the minds of any of the eight members of the Abu Jarad family when an Israeli missile struck their house in the north of Gaza on the 14th of July, killing all of them, including five children aged 15, 13, 3, 12, and 6 months. We will never forget the atrocities of Nazism against the Jewish people. We are now facing these tragic episodes, and we cannot remain silent. We do not wish to see in this stage of history Goliath using attack planes and launching missiles while David stands idle. In the 4 minutes that I have, I wish to devote that time to the Palestinian people and to this council. To the Palestinian people, through their representative, with the limited possibilities that we have of reaching them, as human beings, I ask them to forgive us. I ask for forgiveness from the more than 600 Palestinians, men, women, the elderly, girls and boys who've lost their lives in the past few days. We are part of this international community and we have failed you. I wish to ask forgiveness from the more than 3,500 Palestinians, men, women, elderly, children, who have been wounded and will now be permanently incapacitated as a result of Israeli aggression. The international community has failed you. I ask you to forgive us for the more than 100 schools, 18 medical centers destroyed by the Israeli attack. The international community has failed you. And I ask for your forgiveness from the 72,000 girls and boys who require special psychological assistance after these horrendous attacks. The international community has failed you. I ask you to forgive us for the 1,500 homes that have been partially or totally destroyed by the occupying power. The international community has failed you. I ask you to forgive us. I ask the 6,000 Palestinians who have been detained by the occupying power for your forgiveness. The international community has failed you. And I apologize for the illegal settlements. The international community has also failed you. I would now like to direct my comments to the Council, to the 15 members, and to the 5 members which have this privilege, which makes us unequal, the right to veto, but in particular to the government of the United States. We know full well that today the world what the world is witnessing is the result of illegal, illegitimate Israeli occupation in Palestinian territory. We have lost our innocence. We know that many of these supposed diplomatic efforts simply give more time to Israel to continue to pursue its military objectives. You have the power to stop this, and you don't do it. You do not impose sanctions against Israel. There will be no decisions taken to halt these atrocities. As President Evo Morales has already said, we must put an end to this genocide and put on trial those who are responsible. We call strongly for a halt to Israeli military aggression against Palestine. We call upon everyone to shoulder their responsibility and put an end to the building of the wall. We ask for an end to be put to illegal settlements. We ask for Palestinian prisoners to be freed. We ask that you comply with the conventions of Geneva, the human rights, and the Rome Statute. We call for a sanctions regime against Israel. We want aggression and occupation to end. Once and for all, the Palestinians should have a free, sovereign, and independent state. I will conclude this statement, Mr. President, by recalling the words of Nelson Mandela, this revolutionary man who stood up to fight for the freedom of peoples. And he said, "We know far too well that our freedom will not be complete without the freedom of Palestine." Thank you.
I thank the representative of the plurinational state of Bolivia for his statement, and now give the floor to the representative of India.
Thank you, Mr. President. India is deeply concerned at the steep escalation in the current conflict between Israel and Palestine, resulting in a large number of civilian casualties and heavy damage to property. When the Council held its last open debate in April 2014, direct negotiations between Israel and Palestine, which began in late July 2013 after a gap of more than 2 years, had ended without any outcome. Instead of resumption of dialogue, we are today faced with the tragic resumption of conflict. We in India, Mr. President, are following the current situation with a great deal of concern. We have called upon both sides to exercise maximum restraint and avoid taking actions that may further exacerbate the situation and threaten the peace and security of the region. India supports all efforts for an immediate ceasefire between the parties involved. We remain hopeful that a sustainable ceasefire will be reached between the two sides, linked to the resumption of the peace process for a comprehensive resolution of the Palestinian issue. India remains firmly convinced that dialogue remains the only viable option that can effectively address the issues confronting the region and its people. We hope that both sides will demonstrate the necessary political will to agree to a ceasefire and return to the negotiating table. Mr. President, India's deep association with and continuing commitment to Palestine is rooted in our modern history that goes back to our own struggle for independence. We would also like to reiterate our support for a negotiated solution to the Israeli-Palestinian issue based on the relevant UN resolutions, the Arab Peace Plan, and the Quartet Roadmap, resulting in a sovereign, independent, viable, and united state of Palestine with East Jerusalem as its capital, living within secure and recognized borders, side by side and at peace with Israel. India has consistently held that the blockade of Gaza that adversely affects essential services, economic activities, and infrastructure development must be lifted. We reiterate that this blockade and the issue of increasing settlement activities need to be addressed to take forward the peace process to reach a mutually acceptable political solution. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of India for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
Thank you, Mr. President, for the floor. Let me first commend Mr. President for convening this very important meeting in a very timely manner. Let me also thank Secretary General Ban Ki-moon for the briefing. Also, let me associate the DPRK delegation with the statement to be made by the Islamic Republic of Iran on behalf of NAM. Mr. President, today we are witnessing another barbaric armed invasion into Gaza Strip by Israel, creating great threat to international peace and security in the Middle East. This ongoing armed invasion by Israel is characterized by indiscriminate destruction and massive civilian killings, thereby giving rise to shock, outrage, and condemnation from the international community. In this regard, the DPRK delegation would like to clarify its position as follows. Mr. President, the first, Israel should stop immediately all its armed invasion into Gaza Strip, as requested by the international community. The Middle East, along with the Korean Peninsula, is one of the largest hotspots in the world. The core issue in the Middle East is the question of Palestine. Israel, since the first day of its inception after the end of the Second World War, has been the country of a history of bloody aggression and provocations against the Palestine and Arab countries. Israel's armed invasion should not be tolerated, and they cannot justify on whatever ground. The more Israel expands its armed invasion with ridiculous arguments, as you have seen in the morning, the more Israel will expose its own real color as an aggressor and source of threat and tension in the region, thereby inviting greater condemnation from the international community. Second, Mr. President, Israel should stop indiscriminate massive civilian killings as requested by the international community. Under international law, massive civilian killings are regarded as crime against humanity and war crimes. Israel's indiscriminate massive civilian killings are going ever more brutal because they are targeting even young children who are happiness and future of mankind. The indiscriminate massive civilian killings by Israeli soldiers are becoming more savage because they are targeting civilian hospitals. All these massive civilian killings targeted at defenseless civilians should not be tolerated, and DPRK condemns Israel in the strongest terms. Third, the UN Security Council should carry out its mission of securing international peace and security, as requested by, international community. UN Security Council is not a political tool for one specific country for selfishness and for abuse of power. Now, the question of Palestine has reached a very dangerous, critical stage, and all this is related directly to the behavior of the one country, United States, permanent member of the Security Council. The United States, from the beginning of this incident, has been defending and supporting, pushing Israel towards war with the ridiculous argument, as we have heard this morning, that Israel has the right to defend itself. All these kinds of acts of U.S. will have only destructive impact on the credibility of U.N. Security Council. Mr. President and distinguished colleagues, the establishment of State of Palestine is the inalienable right of Palestine people. Giving support and solidarity to the just struggle of the Palestine people towards establishing independent state based on pre-1967 borderline with East Jerusalem as its capital is becoming one of international overwhelming majority trend which nobody can stop. The DPRK government remains consistent in its support, very strongly support, for the just struggle of the Palestinian people. And we urge Israel to stop all illegal, unlawful military acts availing now in that part of the world and should positively respond to international demand. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea for his statement, and I'll give the floor to the representative of Indonesia.
Mr. President, let me begin by thanking you for convening this open debate. I would also like to thank Secretary General for his comprehensive briefing. Mr. President, I wish to focus my statement on the question of Palestine. This debate comes amidst the rapidly worsening situation in Gaza Strip. The horrible and indiscriminate attacks upon Palestinian civilian populations, especially in Sujaya and Khan Yunis, along with similar violence unfolding in the occupied Palestinian territory in the past several weeks, have shocked the people of Indonesia. And it is particularly saddening to consider that those brutal attacks take place during Ramadan, the holy month in which the blessing of the Almighty have been promised to us. Rather than focusing on those blessings of the Almighty, the reality is that the Palestinian peoples are enduring the brutal and inhuman assault of Israel. In that regard, Indonesia strongly condemns the Israeli indiscriminate killing and excessive as well as disproportionate use of force. Mr. President, Indonesia is encouraged by last week's words of the Secretary General in his comment on the Israeli offensive into Gaza when he stressed, "There can be no military solution to this conflict." We welcome certainly the initiatives of relevant parties as well as key countries in the pursuance of ceasefire as well as the engagement of the UN Secretary General through his travel to the region. It is the hope of Indonesia that those actions serve as a strong encouragement to the Security Council. The Israeli military aggression in Gaza must stop immediately, and it is the responsibility of the Council to act decisively to bring it to a halt. For Indonesia, the Israeli aggression is yet another test as to whether the Security Council will live up to its charter responsibilities towards international peace and the protection of vulnerable populations. Should the Council again fail to act, Mr. President, that would not be a failure only of this organization, but also the defeat of peace and humanity. Mr. President, the loss of civilians on both sides of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict is not only deeply disturbing, it is also extending the animosity and resentment between the two communities. As long as the violence continues, the prospect of a just and lasting peace between Israel and its neighbors will always be in the distant horizon. Despite this obvious fact, Israel remains persistent in its acts of defiance, ignoring the fact that its occupation is the root cause of the violence. It is obvious that stopping the methods of the Israeli aggression is the first step towards peace. Without Israel's withdrawal from all of its occupied territories, the world will always witness violence, not only in Palestine, but in Israel itself. I reiterate, it is Palestine that is occupied by Israel. It is Palestine that is struggling for its sovereignty and independence. And suppression of this legitimate struggle is not self-defense, but a blatant violation of international law. Mr. President, I would like to reiterate that the need for comprehensive, just, and lasting peace in the Middle East on the basis of the two-state solution is now more pressing than ever before. The world is a witness that the might of the Israeli armed forces has only strengthened the tenacity and determination of the Palestinian people. Thus, echoing again the words of the Secretary General, there can be no military solution to this conflict. only the establishment of an independent state of Palestine with East Jerusalem as its capital can yield what we yearn for, peace between Israel and Palestine. To conclude, Mr. President, I wish to express once again Indonesia's unwavering support of the Palestinian people and their legitimate struggle for self-determination. I would also like to call again on the Council to act immediately and decisively, stop the Israeli aggression, ensure unhindered access to humanitarian assistance for all victims, and bring all parties back to the negotiation table. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Indonesia for his statement, and I'll give the floor to the representative of Maldives.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you, Mr. President. It is with a somber spirit that the Maldives takes this opportunity to speak on the situation in the Middle East, a region that has, through the past millennia, been plagued by conflict, yet today faces one of its darkest hours. Mr. President, though the Middle East is embroiled in many conflicts, in this moment, it is undeniable that the greatest need lies with the state of Palestine. With over 500 killed over the past 2 weeks, the majority of whom are civilians, including women, children, and the elderly, the toll that has been taken on the future of the Palestinian people is immeasurable. This toll will be exacerbated further by the lack of medical supplies and equipment and basic development that has resulted from Israel's illegal blockade of the Gaza Strip. This toll will be but one more violation of international law, on top of occupation, aggression, extrajudicial executions, excessive and indiscriminate use of brutal force, forcible colonization, forced displacement, and the collective punishment of an entire people and nation. Mr. President, the toll is and has been for the better part of the last century too much to bear. The Maldives echoes the calls made in this chamber for de-escalation of hostilities in the Gaza Strip, the restoration of calm, and the reinstatement of the November 2012 ceasefire, and the immediate, unconditional end to the Israeli blockade. Further, the Maldives calls for greater assistance to the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestine, which has issued an emergency appeal for assistance and is currently housing more than 84 displaced peoples, with a number likely to exceed 100,000 soon. Mr. President, the realization of peace in the Middle East will not be achieved unless bold decisions are made in this Council to fulfill its mandate as outlined in the Charter of the United Nations in protecting the vulnerable. A resolution from this Council calling for an immediate ceasefire, the reopening of the Gaza Strip based on the 2005 agreement on movement and access, an end to the blockade, and the guaranteed protection of civilian populations is long overdue and much wanted. Mr. President, during the holy month of Ramadan, the prayers of the Maldivian people have been for those who have lost life and limb in this conflict, the wanton destruction, violence, and hatred that has marred this time weighs heavily on the souls of 1.5 billion Muslims the world over. The Maldives reiterates its enduring support for the legitimate and inalienable right to the Palestinian people to freedom, justice, and dignity. Thank you.
I thank the representative of Maldives for his statement, and I'll give the floor to the representative of Norway.
Thank you, Mr. President. The full version of this statement will be available on PaperSmart. Since our last meeting, the developments in the Middle East give cause for deep concern. For the fourth time in the 7 years since Hamas took control of the Gaza Strip, violence has flared up and inflicted an intolerable toll on civilians. This violence, coming after the suspension of the US-led initiative to negotiate the final status agreement between Israel and the PLO, shows that the status quo is unsustainable. Reaching a final status agreement would have abrogated the Israeli occupation of Palestine, granted the Palestinian people a sovereign state, and opened for broad recognition of Israel as promised by the Arab Peace Initiative. An agreement would have laid the ground for nurturing peace. Instead, massive violence now incites unlimited hatred and causes devastating suffering for civilians. Norway condemns the rocket attacks against Israeli civilians. Israel has the right to defend its citizens. Yet, Israel has an obligation to respect the requirements under humanitarian law
as have all the combatant Palestinian groups. Being the stronger part and operating in very densely populated areas strengthen Israel's responsibility. We take note of the acceptance by Israel of the initiative for ceasefire suggested by Egypt a week ago. Norway condemns the loss of more than 600 civilian lives, among them many women and children. This unacceptable level of suffering of civilians is out of proportions. Civilian casualties, including the killing of four children on the beach in Gaza and the military operation in Shuayaya, should be swiftly and thoroughly investigated. Mr. President, the ongoing military confrontation is a threat to international peace and stability. Despite recent press statements, the Security Council could take more decisive action and ensure respect for international humanitarian law. Norway has repeatedly called for an immediate and unconditional cessation of the hostilities and for a long-term and durable ceasefire. Bloodshed and suffering must end. That goal, however, requires also addressing the underlying causes of the conflict. First, Norway calls for concerted international action by all friends of Israel and Palestine in support of the Egyptian initiative and leadership to broker an unconditional and immediate cessation of hostilities. Second, Norway calls for addressing the appalling humanitarian situation in Gaza, recalling the UN Security Council Resolution 1860 and the understanding of the truce that ended the 2012 confrontations. The challenges are clear. There is an urgent need for humanitarian and medical assistance and for reconstruction of private homes and infrastructure. There is a need to bring the security arrangement in Gaza in line with the rest of Palestine. The people in Gaza cannot continue to live under blockade and remain dependent on assistance by the international community. Border crossings must be reopened and access and movement for people and goods be facilitated. Key to achieving this is in the short term to reunite Palestine under one integrated and reformed authority headed by President Abbas, as the Palestinian factions have agreed to do. As the chair of the donor group, the Ad Hoc Liaison Committee, and in partnership with the EU presidency, Norway will take an initiative to call for an international donors conference for Palestine in Oslo as soon as a ceasefire is announced. The conference will address immediate challenges and call for pledges of international assistance. In the margins of the UN General Assembly, Norway will chair an ordinary meeting of the AHLC hosted by the UN Secretary General to coordinate external assistance for building the Palestinian institutions and sustainable economic growth. Third, Norway calls on the Security Council to request that the parties return to a political process and solve the outstanding issues of their conflict peacefully, in accordance with UN Security Council resolutions, previous commitments, and agreements between the parties. President, without hope for the future, freedom to live dignified lives, and respect for rights and international norms, there will be no lasting calm for either of the civilian populations. Without lasting calm, mutual respect, and broad recognition of the two peoples and their rights, there will not be security and peace. We should not forget the other crises in the region. The situation in Syria remains extremely serious, despite the adoption of Security Council Resolution 2165 last week. Norway remains firm in her condemnation of the blatant disregard for civilian suffering, human rights and international humanitarian law demonstrated by the Syrian government forces as well as other parties to the tragic civil war. The atrocities committed by the ISIL and its seizure of control of considerable territories in northeastern Syria and northwestern and central parts of Iraq threatens not only Iraq and Syria, but the whole region. The global resources and capacity for humanitarian responses are under severe strain. Norway calls on the member states of the Security Council to redouble their efforts to address the root causes of these developments and to agree on concerted action to restore stability and calm. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Norway for her statement, and I'll give the floor to the representative of Qatar.
Shukran, Sayyid al-Rais. Sayyid al-Rais, shahadna.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, over the past few days, we have seen horror and barbarous acts directed against the Palestinian people who have been besieged in Gaza by Israel. These actions can only be seen as part of the continuous Israeli aggression that kills innocent people and commits atrocities such as the one in Jogaya, Most of the victims there were children, and we condemn all aggressions committed by Israel in this regard. It violates international humanitarian law and human rights. Mr. President, the Israeli aggression against Gaza is not a way of defending against the Palestinian people. How can you kill hundreds of women, elderly people, and children in order to defend a people? Security cannot be achieved through military might or by targeting innocent civilians, such as Israel is doing now. These aggressions will push everyone towards confrontation by all means and thus destroy any hope of peace in the region. This will not lead to the security that is aspired to. Those who consider that the assault against Gaza is justified by the killing of the three Israeli youths are wrong. The Israeli authorities should have conducted an investigation to find the culprits, given that the crime took place in territory under control of Israel. Israel, the occupying authority, must, according to international law, be responsible for the crimes committed against the unarmed Palestinians. What is taking place in Gaza is a collective punishment, a state terrorism that requires a clear position of the Security Council, given that the number of victims and the dead continues to grow after the land invasion and the air and sea assault. What is taking place in Gaza is not a response to terrorism. And the people of Gaza are not terrorists. This is a people that is strong, that is seeking to recover the rights that have been stripped from it over the past decades. For some time now, the international community is seeking to broker a peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis. The Palestinian unity was considered as a propitious environment for peace. However, Israeli acts now are a true impediment to this peace. With regard to the daily tragedy of the people of Gaza and the siege against over 1.5 million of Palestinians, this is a violation of the 2012 agreements, and it is also a violation of the agreements considering the exchange of prisoners, and Israel is responsible for all these violations. Qatar spares no efforts to achieve a just and comprehensive peace, and we will continue to support our brethren Palestinian people. We are attached to stopping violence. We also commend international efforts to reach a humanitarian truce and a ceasefire. We have encouraged negotiations, and we have encouraged negotiations in Cairo. We urge the international community to reach a just and lasting agreement, ceasefire, as well as respect for international law and human rights, and guaranteeing the security of the Palestinian people, and not to prevent any attempt to ensure the security of the Palestinian people. The Security Council has a special responsibility in this regard. So it needs to demand that Israel put an end to this assault so that humanitarian assistance can reach Gaza and that a solution can be found. Now, with regard to Syria, the authorities continue to attack its own people by targeting civilians, because the report of the Secretary General clearly points to the use of bombs against civilians, as well as sieges and famine, using famine against civilians, as well as the refusal to allow access to humanitarian assistance. and medical assistance. The situation in Syria has reached such a state due to the paralysis of the international community with regard to meeting the needs of the people of this country. The adoption by the Security Council Resolution 2156 clearly points to the desire of the international community to see to the well-being of the Palestinian people and to implement Resolution 2139 and to put a stop to this crisis, which will only deteriorate until a solution is found that will guarantee the rights of the Syrian people and to condemn crimes against humanity. We congratulate the appointment of Mr. Dimistura and his deputy, and we hope that his appointment will make it possible to reach a settlement to the crisis. Thank you.
I thank the representative of Qatar for her statement, and I'll give the floor to the representative of the Syrian Arab Republic.
شكرا السيد الرئيس. السيد الرئيس، لقد بلغت مسألة الاحتلال الإسرائيلي.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Israeli occupation of the Arab territories, with the fallout on peace and stability in the region, has reached a very dangerous phase, given international indifference, which is not committing Israel to put an end to its occupation of the Arab territories or an end to the serious violations of international instruments, including the Geneva Conventions of 49. The international community is not putting a halt to the excesses of settlements, displacements, carnage, and continued aggression. What is taking place today in Gaza is sporadic raids, killings of children, women, and the elderly. This is just a new chapter in Israeli aggression against the sons of the Palestinian people. We reaffirm here that Israel could not have arrived at these excesses in its policy of aggression without the support and the protection of some well-known countries. With the pretexts and excuses provided for Israel, these states are complicit in these policies, and they are legally responsible and accountable for the results. The Syrian Arab Republic condemns the carnage and the crimes by Israel against the Palestinian people, our brothers in Gaza. We condemn international silence in the face of this ongoing crime, and we call upon the Security Council to have Israel halt its barbaric acts threatening peace and security in the region. Mr. President, some in this hall have claimed that they are committed to the rights of the Syrian people, and yet the falseness of that statement and the hypocrisy have been shown because they have not said anything about that except at the end of their statement on the Israeli occupation of the Golan Heights, as if that was not a right of the Syrian people, as if the Golan was not occupied Syrian territory. And every year there are a number of resolutions adopted to have Israel withdraw to the 4 June 1967 line. Where is the discussion by these delegations of human rights and international humanitarian law when it comes to the settlement campaign of the Israelis and the suffering of the Syrian people under occupation in the Golan for more than half a century? In the Golan, the Syrian citizens have been exposed to the worst forms of repression, racial discrimination, arrests, and torture. They are deprived of their natural resources, including oil, gas, and water. Mr. President, the support by Israel of terrorist groups, those working in the occupied Golan Heights is a violation, a flagrant violation of the 64 separation of forces agreement at the request of UNIFIL and UNDOF, rather, and the international community. This is exposed UN personnel to dangers, undermines the UN activity in this region. This is true when it came to the kidnapping of UNDOF staff or their exposure to firing as they've been targeted by terrorist groups supported by Israel. On this subject, we would point out that the most recent report of the Secretary General on UNDOF, document S-2014-4601, a document reaffirming that Israel has transferred terrorist groups to Israeli hospitals through the separation line so that they can return to the separation zone and pursue their terrorist activities. And they are in communication with them, and they provide them with closed boxes, the contents of which we are unfamiliar. This is in violation of the separation of forces agreement in 64 and Security Council resolutions, as well as international law. Mr. President, given international silence vis-à-vis Israeli practices, Israel has now displayed aggression in Palestinian territories and has targeted civilian areas more than once in recent times. The Secretary General's report on UNDOF, which I've just referred to, also mentions Israeli aggression against Syrian territories on the 18th and 19th of March as being the most serious violations committed since the 1974 disengagement agreement, and the activities pursued by Israel has increased tension in the region to an unprecedented level. And this may well have a serious consequences, which will not just be limited to this region. And it is for that reason that we are calling upon the United Nations, including the Security Council, to shoulder its responsibility in accordance with the Charter with regard to the end of Israeli occupation and halting barbaric policies by respecting the relevant resolutions of the United Nations, including the Security Council Resolution 47 on the occupied Syrian Golan, calling upon Israel to withdraw from all occupied Arab territories, including occupied Syrian Golan, to the line of 4 June 1967. Mr. President, finally, we reiterate our rejection of the attempts by some delegations aimed at disregarding the issue on our agenda, the Middle East, and an end to Israeli occupation in the occupied Arab territories, including the Syrian Golan. Without considering the domestic issues going on in a given country, so as not to be a party to these attempts. We reject these efforts. I will not respond to that under this agenda item and to the delegations which violate the Charter and international law in their attempts to provide support and housing for terrorists and for mercenaries, and assisting their return to Syria through neighboring countries for terrorism and destruction to be carried out in Syria and throughout the entire region. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of the Syrian Arab Republic for his statement, and I'll give the floor to the representative of South Africa.
Mr. President, my delegation and I would like to take this opportunity to congratulate you on assuming the responsibility to chair the Security Council during this month of July. I'm particularly pleased to see you presiding over this meeting. Mr. President, the current and ongoing Israeli invasion of Gaza is a collective indictment of the international community, the United Nations in general, and the Security Council in particular. History will indeed judge the United Nations and the members of the Security Council harshly for the failure to carry out their historic responsibilities of the maintenance of international peace and security. South Africa has, for its part, condemned violence from all parties to the current conflict. We continue to call for immediate cessation of hostilities, firing of rockets, and Israeli disproportionate military actions. There, however, cannot be a justification for flagrant violation of international law, international humanitarian law, and the international human rights law. The Security Council cannot be caught in double standards, calling for accountability for violations of international law somewhere, including calls for reference of situations to international criminal court, and do not do the same when the acts are committed by Israel. The most glaring of the weakness of this organization in its almost 70 years of existence continues to be the manner in which it deals with the Israeli-Palestinian question. Mr. President, the past few days since the conflict started and the subsequent Israeli ground invasion of Gaza has not seen or resulted in any meaningful actions from this council, a principal organ of the United Nations with the responsibility for maintenance of international peace and security. We have heard of condemnations from speakers before us and some of the members of the council, but the biggest question that the people, children, women, and aged of Palestine are posing to us, particularly the Security Council, is, what are you doing about our plight, the indignity we continue to suffer at the hands of our occupiers, the killing of our children, mothers, and grandparents? For the Israelis, they have known out of experience over the years that there will not be consequences for their actions in violation of all known provisions of international law. Who is the most powerful in this conflict and who should bear the greatest degree of responsibility and accountability? The reality is that the whole crisis meant to be a diversion of attention from the real issues of the day facing the Palestinian people and their struggle for self-determination and freedom. We should all be reminded that at the core of the Israeli-Palestinian question is the perpetual occupation by Israel and the Palestinian struggle for self-determination, equality, freedom, and justice. The root cause of the conflict has to be addressed, and that the two-state solution, which is the creation of the state of Palestine on the basis of the 1967 borders, existing side by side with the state of Israel. We also call for immediate admission of the state of Israel, of Palestine, as a full member of the United Nations with all rights and privileges. The continued lack of action on the part of the Security Council on the Palestinian application for full membership is not justified and only serves to give undue advantage to the Israelis at the expense of Palestinians. Mr. President, there has to be an immediate ceasefire to stop all the carnage currently going on now as we debate this matter. The parties should return to negotiations since there cannot be a military solution to the conflict. South Africa has welcomed the formation of the Government of National Unity by the Palestinians. The South African government has announced a 10 million rand humanitarian aid to Gaza to address the current plight of the Palestinians caused by the military ground operation. The people and the government of South Africa will continue to identify with the Palestinian cause and contribute towards efforts for durable and sustainable political solution to the crisis. We continue to be inspired by the words of our former late president, President Mandela, when he said, I quote, "We know too well that our freedom is incomplete without the freedom of the Palestinians," close quote. The South African government has today announced its intention to dispatch a team to Israel and Palestine to convey our growing concern with the escalation of violence there. President Zuma will also invite President Abbas on a working visit to South Africa. In conclusion, Mr. President, we'd like to call on the Security Council to shoulder its charter responsibility and adopt a resolution that sends an unequivocal and strong message that the indiscriminate and arbitrary killing of civilians from both sides has to stop, and there will be accountability for the gross violations of international law in all its aspects. The Security Council cannot afford the luxury of permanent paralysis and inaction on this matter. The status quo is not sustainable and will forever remain an indelible mark on the aims and the objectives of this this august organization. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of South Africa for his statement, and I'll give the floor to the representative of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Mr. President, I have the honor to speak on behalf of the Non-Aligned Movement in this important session of the Security Council. Let me start by conveying sympathy and condolences of the members of the movement to the Palestinian people and their leadership for the tragic loss of life and devastation that they have suffered in the recent period as a result of the indiscriminate and brutal shelling and aerial strikes, followed by a massive ground invasion in Gaza Strip by Israeli occupying forces, attacks and invasion that clearly constitute deliberate reprisals and collective punishment against an entire civilian population in grave breach of international law. This latest Israeli military aggression against the Palestinian civilian population in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, has caused high civilian casualties, particularly in the Gaza Strip, where more than 600 Palestinians, most of them women, children, and elderly, have been killed and thousands of Palestinians have been injured, hundreds critically, by the Israeli occupying forces. It is particularly tragic that women and children constitute the majority of the victims of these indiscriminate lethal military strikes. In this regard, according to the estimates by UN and independent agencies present on the ground, more than three quarters of the victims have been civilians, and UNRWA has found that more than one quarter of the fatalities have been children. Moreover, these indiscriminate Israeli bombardments, coupled with ground invasion against densely populated civilian areas, have caused widespread destruction and damage to civilian properties and vital civilian infrastructure, and have devastated and disrupted all aspects of life in Gaza, which is already long suffering under the legitimate, suffocating Israeli blockade. This massive Israeli military offensive, which is unjustifiable under any pretext, as well as the constant violence, provocations, and incitement against the Palestinian people, have caused widespread trauma, fear, and distress among a whole civilian population and must be condemned. Mr. President, in the light of the dire humanitarian situation, especially in the Gaza Strip, the Non-Aligned Movement believes that there is an urgent need to help the Palestinian people, including through provision of emergency humanitarian assistance to meet the needs of the Palestinian civilian populations. NAM calls on the international community to provide this emergency assistance to alleviate the vast suffering caused by this regrettable deterioration and destabilization of the situation on the ground. In this regard, NAM calls for urgent additional support to the UNRWA for the provision of necessary food and other humanitarian aid to the Palestinian refugees and other displaced civilians in Gaza. Despite efforts by regional and international actors, including the call for ceasefire by this council on 12 July and also by NAM, OIC, and the Arab League, Israel, the occupying power, is defiantly persisting with its military aggression and ground invasion against the Palestinian civilian population under its occupation in grave contravention of international law, particularly the Fourth Geneva Convention. This intransigence on the part of the occupying power is in continuation of its practice of blatantly ignoring the demands of the international community to end its occupation and to stop its illegal policies and practices, which over the past six decades have destabilized the regional and international peace and security and claimed the lives, land, dignity, and welfare of millions of Palestinian people. The atrocities committed by Israel during the past weeks adds to a long list of grave breaches perpetrated by this regime in the past six decades, which include but are not limited to occupation, aggression, collective punishment, extrajudicial executions, use of excessive, indiscriminate, and brutal force, confiscation and colonialization of the Palestinian land, with massive settlements, the wall and transfer of hundreds of thousands of settlers, arbitrary detention and imprisonment of thousands of civilians, now numbering more than 6,000 Palestinians, use of torture and other internationally prohibited abuses against civilians, destruction of homes and forced displacement of civilians. Mr. President, this ongoing tragedy and injustice is mostly due to a culture of impunity in which the occupying power has systematically and willfully perpetrated its violations over the years, an impunity undoubtedly fostered by the repeated failure of the international community, particularly the Security Council, to hold it accountable for its crimes and to compel its compliance with the law. In the two statements issued by the Non-Aligned Movement during the recent crisis, we stress the urgent need for the Council to uphold its charter duties and to act decisively to uphold international law and to ensure accountability for this violation. The very fragile situation in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, demands urgent attention and action of the Security Council to stop the current invasion of Gaza, bring a halt to the repeated Israeli military aggressions against the Palestinian civilian population, to end the inhuman blockade of the Gaza Strip and to ensure full respect for international humanitarian law and protection for the Palestinian civilian population. The Security Council must assume a more active role in the crisis to avert the further destabilization of the situation, avert the relapse of such deadly and destructive cycle of violence, and contribute to the efforts for realizing a just and lasting peace and security. In closing, Mr. President, I would like to reaffirm the unwavering support and solidarity of the members of the movement to the Palestinian people and their resilient efforts to realize their inalienable rights and legitimate national aspirations for freedom, justice, dignity, and peace. Allow me, Mr. President, to say a few words in my national capacity and in reaction to the Israeli representative who today once again leveled baseless accusations against my country. It's ironic that while the regime he belongs to is in these very hours inflicting a brutal and indiscriminate collective punishment on a whole civilian and defenseless population and has an unparalleled perverse record of using and employing violence as a means to further its aims, he levels accusation against my government. What this representative says against my government is absurd, and all nothing more than a smoke screen to camouflage the crimes his regime has been committing for decades and divert attention from the bloodbath it is currently creating in the Gaza Strip. Throughout its history, this regime has never stopped employing violence and terrorism to terrify the inhabitants of the land it occupies and the peoples of the region with a view to keeping their lands under occupation. And terrorizing civilians has always been its favorite tool to suppress peoples through all phases of its existence. As occupation lies at the heart of the Palestinian question, the Palestinian people, like every other people under foreign occupation, has no other choice but to resist the occupiers. This resistance has been going on for decades and will continue relentlessly as long as the occupation persists. Undoubtedly, the Israeli attempts and propaganda in this case is doomed to failure. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of the Islamic Republic of Iran for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Iceland.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, in the case of Syria, Iceland welcomes the adoption by the Security Council of Resolution 2165 with the aim to ensure access of humanitarian assistance to people in need throughout Syria. We commend the non-permanent members, Australia, Jordan, and Luxembourg, who relentlessly worked towards building a consensus around the resolution, which was long overdue. But humanitarian assistance can only give short-term relief, and much more needs to be done by the Security Council to seek a political solution to the conflict. The situation is already having significant consequences on regional peace and security, affecting the situation in neighboring countries as well as UN's own peacekeeping mission on Syrian Golan. The Council cannot sit idle by. In Syria, we have also been witnessing flagrant violations of international humanitarian law and human rights law for over 3 years now, especially by the Syrian government. We continue to condemn those violations and reiterate our call to the Security Council to refer the situation in Syria to the ICC. Mr. President, on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, I want to start by expressing Iceland's condemnation of the violations of international humanitarian law by both sides in the conflict. We condemn the indiscriminate rocket attacks from Hamas and other militant organizations in Gaza against civilian targets in Israel, terrorizing the civilian population, and which have so far resulted in 2 civilian deaths. We also condemn the use of force by the IDF, which has resulted in more than 600 deaths in Gaza, the vast majority of them civilians, and the injury of more than 3,500 people, as well as immense destruction of homes and other civilian infrastructure. The IDF's air and ground assault raises serious concerns about respect for the principle of distinction, proportionality, and precaution in attacks under international humanitarian law. Mr. President, while the current situation in Gaza is beyond tragic, I am not going to dwell on it, because the core problem is not what is happening today. The core problem is the occupation. It is the occupation of Gaza and the West Bank, including East Jerusalem, that affects all aspects of the daily lives of Palestinians, that violates their human rights, including their freedom of movement and property rights, right to assembly and freedom of expression, the right to education, right to health, and equal access to justice and due process, to name a few. In this respect, let's recall that this month it is 10 years since the advisory opinion of the ICJ, where the court clearly stated that the wall were built on occupied Palestinian land, including East Jerusalem, is illegal according to international law. But contrary to the recommendations of the court, not much has changed on the ground. The wall continues to obstruct the movement of Palestinians and severely impact their livelihood opportunities. Let's also recall that this summer the blockade on Gaza has been in place for 8 years with dire consequences for the civilian population. Mr. President, we spent a lot of time at the UN discussing the protection of civilians in armed conflict, the importance of dialogue and mediation for peace and security, etc. These concepts are not meant to be abstract. They do not exist in vacuum. The whole idea is to apply them to real-life situations. Accordingly, we do commend the Secretary General for going to Israel and the State of Palestine to try directly to seek a ceasefire. We strongly encourage him to continue being personally engaged and make full use of his good offices to find a durable solution to the conflict. The conflict also requires urgent attention by the Security Council. First and foremost, a ceasefire must be brokered, which will not only provide for laying down arms, but also lay the ground for achieving something more durable. Secondly, the Security Council needs to firmly uphold its responsibility under the UN Charter for Maintenance of International Peace and Security. Every effort must be made to bring about a peaceful solution to the conflict resulting in 2 states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and security. The parameters are fairly clear and well known to all. The Council can start by demanding respect for its own numerous resolutions on the conflict and for international humanitarian law. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Iceland for her statement. Je donne à présent la parole au représentant de la...
And I'll give the floor to the representative of Tunisia. Thank you so much, Mr. President.
هذه المداخلة أن أتقدم إليكم بالتهنئة لتولي...
I'd like to start by congratulating you, Mr. President, upon your election
to the presidency of this council for this month, and I'd like to thank the Secretary General, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, for his briefing. Mr. President, Israel is using all of its land, naval, and air military capacities to humiliate the Palestinian people who have now been blockaded in Gaza for close to 7 years. The occupying force is again showing its barbarity and its barbarous nature in its actions against the Palestinian civilians in Gaza, regardless of whether they're women, children, or the elderly. And this has claimed over 600 lives, 600 murders, thousands of injured, thousands of refugees. All of this has also led to the destruction of the infrastructure in all sectors of activity. I ask myself a number of questions, like a great many delegations have done. How can we explain the fact that 70% of the victims of this aggression, according to United Nations estimates, are civilians? How can one justify the murder of unarmed civilians under the pretext that one is protecting other civilians? What arguments can possibly be used to justify the fact that one is targeting medical teams, hospitals? Again, Israel is shedding Palestinian blood, and this compounds other acts of violence which have been inflicted on the Palestinian people over 6 decades, and all of this the international community is well aware of. After the bloodbaths of Jaffa, Jenin, and other bloodbaths, this time it was a turn of the Shojaiya neighborhood. The occupying forces attacked it by using rockets and other ammunition, which has claimed 70 lives, and the majority, as always, are made up of women, children, and the elderly. Mr. President, how long is Israel going to continue its aggression against the Palestinian people for? For how long is it going to disregard international law? How long will the international community sit by in silence in the face of these acts, limiting themselves to condemning them in a weak way at a time when Palestinians are attacked on a daily basis in full sight of the international community? How long will a delegate of Palestine continue to read us lists of murdered innocent children? This, of course, is quite horrendous. Israel believes that it has some sort of immunity which places it above the law, which allows it to violate the rights of people, regardless of where it takes place, when it wants, how it wants. Not interested in the whole concept of being accountable for one's acts. The whole concept of criminal liability is what international law is based on. And we are about to commemorate the Day of International Security. How can one use the pretext of the fight against terrorism to carry out these crimes against Palestinians and to avoid any responsibility or liability? It is important that your August Assembly that your council, as the body responsible for the maintenance of international peace and security, must take measures to put an end to this aggression. The Security Council held its first meeting on Israeli aggression against Gaza on July 10th. This before the number of victims was more than just a few dozen. But now, and following that meeting, the council adopted a declaration for the press. This is not what the Palestinian people had been waiting for. It certainly wasn't in this response, wasn't in keeping with the actions by Israel, which undermine security throughout the region as a whole. Over these last few weeks, the situation has deteriorated quite seriously. There's been an escalation, especially after the bloodbath of Shujaiya. There are now over 500 victims, and the Security Council is again meeting met on July 20th, and we have not taken a firm position. And of course, some felt that this was a green light given to the occupation forces to continue their murder without any responsibility. We wish to denounce the land operation, the ground operations, military operations launched by Israel against Gaza. And the international community and the Security Council must assume their responsibilities to put an immediate end to the military aggression against Gaza.
Furthermore, there is a need to lift this unjust blockade on Gaza, to put an end to the negative humanitarian, social, and economic impact stemming from it. Palestinians are deprived of their basic rights and their right to a decent life. We also call for an opening of the crossing points to ensure that the necessary humanitarian assistance can be provided to the people of Gaza. Thirdly, there is a need to mobilize the efforts of the international community to increase the support given to Palestine at a humanitarian level. One must back up the efforts of UNRWA. We have, for this reason, decided to send medical aid to the Gaza Strip. And we have welcomed a number of Palestinians into our hospitals. We should also back and heed the call by President Mahmoud Abbas to place Palestine and the Gaza Strip under an international protection regime. Faithfully, there's a need to put an end to the Israeli attacks and that of Israeli settlers against the Palestinian people and their assets and their property, as well as their religious holy sites. There's a need to put an end to the refugees and put an end to the colonial activity of Jerusalem and East Jerusalem, the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. There is a need to set up a sovereign, independent Palestinian state on all the territories which were theirs before 1967, and this in conformity with the Arab peace plan, the whole concept of land for peace, and the Madrid agreements. We welcome the efforts and international initiatives, as well as regional initiatives, aimed at putting an end to the aggression against Gaza. And we also welcome the activities which took place within this framework. We'd like to reaffirm the importance of achieving a lasting truce, a just one, which would avoid renewed aggression by Israel against Gaza, and of course to lift the blockade on Gaza. I thank you, sir.
Je remercie le représentant de la Tunisie pour sa.
To thank the representative of Tunisia for his statement.
To the representative of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela.
Señor presidente.
Mr. President, the delegation of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela wanted to thank you for convening this important session of the Security Council on the Middle East, and specifically examination of the situation in the Gaza Strip after the brutal military aggression by Israel, the occupying power, against the people of this territory, the State of Palestine. We adhere to the statement made by the distinguished representative of the Islamic Republic of Iran on behalf of the non-aligned movement countries. Mr. President, the international community is once again shaken by the escalation of violence generated by the cruel military actions of Israel in Gaza. The seriousness of the conflict that broke out a few days ago as a result of bellicose operations demands that the Security Council make a resounding statement in favor of an immediate ceasefire in keeping with the agreement of November 2012 that would lead to the total withdrawal of military forces, Israeli military forces from Gaza, and put an end to the violence against the Palestinian people. Our country categorically condemns the aggression perpetrated by the occupying power through indiscriminate bombing and the invasion of this territory, which has sown destruction and led to the death of more than 500 innocent civilians, mostly children, women, and the elderly, as well as wounding thousands of people in clear violation of international law norms, including humanitarian international law. Venezuela reiterates its solidarity with the people and government of Palestine, given this new attack of the Israeli military forces, which has been subject also to an illegal embargo since 2007 for the inhabitants of Gaza, violating the human rights of the people and the provisions of the Fourth Geneva Convention relating to protection of civilians in armed conflict. Therefore, we demand that Israel put an end to this military aggression, to the construction of settlements in the occupied territories of the Palestinian state, that they refrain from taking measures of collective punishment, and lift the asphyxiating embargo on Gaza, which has an impact in an ongoing and devastating manner on the Palestinian people, which is deliberately depriving them of a means of subsistence, economic income, food, medicines, and other
goods that are essential for daily life for the people of Gaza and for the functioning of their political institutions. Finally, our country would reiterate the need for returning to the path of negotiations in order to achieve broad peace cemented in a vision of the region whereby two states, Israel and Palestine, would live next to each other with safe and recognized borders based on the pre-1967 borders in keeping with international law. Thank you very much, sir.
I thank the representative of Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of El Salvador.
Muchas gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you very much, sir. El Salvador reaffirms its commitment to peace and unrestricted respect of human rights, international law, and the principles enshrined in the United Nations Charter. Likewise, we would reiterate our hope that a peaceful solution to the conflict between Israel and Palestine be found. El Salvador vigorously condemns and rejects the increase in aggression, armed aggression by Israel against Gaza, as we have seen in the last week, which has led to the loss of human life, hundreds of wounded people, and the flight of thousands of Palestinians from their homes, in addition to serious material damage. Also, El Salvador would like to express that the exercise of the right of the legitimate self-defense of states recognized in the Charter of the United Nations does not justify the disproportionate use of military force against another state and even less against its civilian population. This is actually a breach of the spirit of the aforementioned charter, and further, it is a flagrant violation of the norms of international humanitarian law. We urge for an immediate and continuous access for the people of Gaza to humanitarian assistance, which should be unfettered and unrestricted, so that they can have access to basic supplies. In this regard, we, with optimism, welcome the meeting of the Human Rights Council of the United Nations in order to evaluate the situation of civilians in Gaza. We call for a follow-up of the application of the relevant resolutions of the United Nations, the principles of the reference of Madrid Conference, including the principle of territory for peace, the Arab Peace Initiative, as set forth in Resolution 6719. Based on the aforementioned, El Salvador reiterates its call for an immediate cessation of armed aggression, while it also requests the Security Council to play a more active and central role in finding a peaceful solution to the conflict. Mr. President, El Salvador calls for a restoration of calm in order to return to the path of resolving issues in a peaceful manner. We would also support the various actors that are accompanying the parties in their quest for peaceful solutions to intensify their diplomatic efforts in the short term and to put the voice and rights of the peoples in search of peace, first and foremost. Thank you.
I thank the representative of El Salvador for his statement.
And now I'm going to give the floor to the representative of Canada.
Merci beaucoup.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. And we'd like to thank you for this opportunity afforded us to take the floor.
President, Canada supports Israel's right, like any other country, to defend itself against terror attacks. We stand unequivocally with Israel in its efforts to protect the lives of its citizens, which are once again under direct threat. The indiscriminate rocket attacks from Gaza on Israel are terrorist acts for which there can be no justification. This Council must condemn these reprehensible acts by Hamas, call for the restoration of calm and an end to the current hostilities. This is not a conflict, Mr. President, between the Palestinian Authority or the Palestinian people and the State of Israel. It is a conflict between a terrorist organization and the Jewish state. Monsieur le Président.
Mr. President, there is no moral equivalence between Hamas, a terrorist organization with a blatant disregard for human life, and the liberal, democratic state of Israel, which is fulfilling its obligation to defend its people. Is there any government represented here in this chamber that would not defend itself vigorously if hundreds of rockets were raining down on its people day after day? The Israeli Defense Forces have continued to demonstrate a commitment to minimizing civilian casualties in response to the relentless rocket attacks. Hamas has sought to deliberately put civilians from both sides in mortal danger.
We mourn the resulting death and deplore the suffering.
In early June, President Abbas announced a new government which would reassert his authority over Gaza, until then firmly under the boot of Hamas. If there is something positive that might be derived from this tragedy, it should be the opportunity that it creates for President Abbas to take on three major challenges. First, complete the disarmament of Hamas and other Palestinian terrorist groups operating in Gaza, including the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. This means that he must follow through on his commitment to demilitarization and the removal of existing stockpiles of thousands and thousands of largely Iranian-supplied missiles nestled and shielded amidst the homes, grocery stores, and schools of Palestinians. It means that Hamas fighters put down their arms and embrace a peace process. Second, there must be a complete cessation of the production and smuggling of weapons and materials that enable terrorist groups to both acquire and make rockets. And third, the Palestinian Authority's security apparatus must assume immediate and total control of Gaza and the Rafah border crossing. There is no place for militias, private armies, or alternative security forces. The principle of one authority, one gun must be enforced, and security coordination between the Palestinians and the Israelis should continue.
Mr. Penada, President Canada supports the Secretary General's efforts to de-escalate the situation, as well as the efforts of the government of Egypt and the United States to attempt to broker a ceasefire. Canada commends Israel for its unconditional acceptance of the Egyptian ceasefire proposal which was rejected by Hamas.
Canada expresses profound concern regarding the reports that rockets found in a Gaza UNRWA school were returned to Hamas. Canada unequivocally calls on the United Nations to not launch an immediate, independent investigation to determine the facts surrounding this report. And Canada also calls on the United Nations to ensure that no rockets are returned to Hamas in any way, shape, or form. Canada calls on Hamas and the other terror groups to end the violence and suffering. It is in Hamas's power to end this conflict, and we call upon them to do so immediately. I thank you, Mr. President. Merci beaucoup, Monsieur le Président.
I thank the representative of Canada for his statement.